So, Jed, who's your pick to win this year's Tour de France?
Is that the competition where they go around eating cheese and not bathing?
So I take it you don't have a pick.
Look, if there's no doping, right, then I'm just not interested. Like, if we're not going to see the best of the best of the best.
You know, if everybody's doping, then, you know, why not? Same thing in any sport.
I just want to see guys traveling at speeds that they just normally wouldn't be able to travel at. That's what I want. I want to see some guy riding his bike. I can get that around New York City.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm a huge fan. I've been following the tour for 25-ish years and in earnest for the last 15. So, or 16 years, yeah. So, yeah, I'll be watching the tour once we wrap up today's recording.
I mean, every Southern California guy went through their, like, I'm a mountain biker. I'm a biker guy, bicycle guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm talking about me, not you, because you're not a Southern California guy. So, yes, I went through that phase. I rode my bike places. I chose that instead of a car at times.
Ooh.
But that was when I was young and stupid.
I hear Queen's I Want to Ride My Bicycle playing in my head.
Okay, true story, right? That's one of the first albums I ever owned at 9 years old.
Nice.
Right? Came with a poster of like 1,000 heavy set gals.
Yes, I had the same album. Yes.
And I had no idea what you're supposed to do with that. So I asked my mom, like, Mom, what do I do with this? And she's like, well, you do whatever you want with this. I said, well, I don't want this. Because at the time, not because I wanted naked guys, but just because I just didn't want naked anything.
Right. You're 9.
I was 9.
Yeah.
I might have even been 8. And it's just like, you know what? I'm just going to listen to the music. There I was, an enlightened 8-year-old listening to Queen, the Surf Punks, and AC/DC.
That is awesome. See, Queen and AC/DC were in my rotation as a kid.
Yeah.
So, yeah, huge fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, Queen and ELO were my two big ones as a youngster.
Yeah. Yeah, as a you're older than
a little bit older.
So ELO definitely slots right in there. Though ELO is very listenable to this day.
Yeah, I love them. Love them.
Holds up.
Yeah. So this is episode 71 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
This is the Josh Hader episode.
Oh.
They're actually Haters going to
hate.
Relevancy to today's player.
An active player.
Yes, an all-star to boot.
Yes.
In his first full season.
Yes.
Very nice. Very well played, Josh.
Easily the best relief pitcher in
at
baseball today.
Yeah. Dominant.
Though he did give up a couple home runs the other day, right?
Yeah. To who did he give them up to?
I don't know.
The Marlins.
I think it's to whom. Oh, that's right. The Marlins. Yes. Been a little scrappy, the Marlins, lately.
Yeah. They've held their own. I'm pretty pleased with the team that everybody thought would be the worst team in baseball is not the worst. Well, they're like the fourth or fifth worst.
Who's that guy they've got? Is it Brian Johnson?
Third base outfielder. He's a keeper.
Third base outfielder. People had sort of like, they'd given up on him kind of around the league. And they were like, well, you know, we're just going to start him because we got to start him. And let's see if he can do anything. He's done very well.
Yeah, he's the second best player on their team right now behind Real Muto.
Right. That's a huge chasm, though, between.
Massive.
I mean, that's.
It is massive.
It's
been encouraging as a fan that, you know, they're not by far the worst team. They're not going to lose 110 games. They may not even lose 100.
You think they're going to sign Bryce Harper next year?
No, not going to happen. Not going
to
happen.
Bryce Harper wants to take his talents to South Beach.
Maybe. Like LeBron did. The decision.
Like LeBron. Yeah.
So let's talk some baseball headlines.
Sure, why not?
We already kicked off the whole all-star conversation. So the selections were made. Snubs were made.
Yeah.
People were thrilled. Some players got in. I love Bryce Harper's story, speaking of Harper, that he was not going to be in the home run hitting contest if he wasn't voted in as a starter. Now, I don't know if that was in honor of the home run derby elite or if it was just like, well, if I'm an alternate, screw that.
I think it's a smart move for him to look. Some people say that the home run derby can screw up your swing, but there is no way that his swing can get any more screwed up than it currently is. I mean, I guess he could go full Chris Davis on us, but really, like, he has nothing to lose and everything to gain. Maybe he has a good showing. Maybe he gets revved up. He gets the teams, the free agent spenders. Like, oh, yeah, this guy, he's able to hit home runs.
As long as he doesn't go a full Bobby Abreu and fade into obscurity after the home run derby.
But that's what I'm saying. He can't do worse than what he's currently doing now for his free agent stock. He can't. Like, he's hitting 200.
Yeah, that's
it's so low.
And your voice is so high.
Do you have him in any fantasy leagues?
No, I don't.
I have him in fantasy league, but it's an on base percentage league, so it
doesn't hurt.
He's still okay.
Yeah, he's still in the top 10 in that.
Yeah,
and he walks at an amazing.
A little disappointed with the rest of the production.
Yeah, well, he's got a second half to pull it, you know, all together and see what he can parlay. So he's gone from being a $40 million a year player to a $35 million a year.
I mean, it might even be a little bit lower than that now, right? Like, if he goes the rest of the season like this, it would be hard to see him getting more than
breaking the bank. And that's where I think if he continues at this pace, expect to see a 3-year deal with a 1-year out or even a 1-year deal at 40 or like $35 million to see if he can turn it around.
It's possible. I mean, again, if he tanks out, he tanks out.
He tanks out, yeah. It would be a smart move, assuming he doesn't get hurt, but it would be a smart move to look for a bigger payday.
Yeah, like go to Colorado for a year.
Yeah.
Hit like 78
sauce up
home
your
runs.
Numbers. Yeah. And then then he'll be a $50 million a year player.
Or you know what he could do? He could do the Trevor Bauer thing and just do like 1-year contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Bauer said he's going to do only 1-year contracts. Is it Trevor Bauer that did it? Yeah, Trevor Bauer. Which technically is the best way, if you stay healthy,
as long as you're healthy,
you will make more
thing.
Money. Yeah. Yeah, as long as you're healthy.
Yeah, because the inflation that goes every, especially you know, you have a lot of players that, and I actually like this because you're getting value for them as opposed to waiting until you're, you know, 35 years old and signing a 5-year deal for you know $30 million a year and you're not productive. Like right now, the worst player in baseball for the value is Albert Pujols. He's getting paid for what he did in St. Louis. By the Angels, and it's just there's no value there. So I like the idea of players signing long-term contracts when they're 22, 23 years old. 7 years, they're still going to come, you know, 6, 7 years, they're still going to come, you know, they'll be in their late prime when they have a chance to hit free agency. So go ahead and sign those deals. But I do get the whole idea of doing the one-offs because it's, I just like the idea of securing a player on a team for a while too when they're young.
Right.
You know, as a fan.
Well, the 1-year deals are great. Remember those contracts that Roger Clemens was getting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he was breaking the record every year.
Every year,
because it was a 1-year deal, right? Because teams will do over a 3-year deal. They'll say like, "Oh, we'll pay you $20 million," but like for 1 year, like yeah, it's
wasn't he lured out of retirement like 4 years in a row? You know, so like,
yeah,
we'll
right. He was
throw
like
a lot of money.
He didn't
away.
Pitch the first half of the season.
Right, come in. Yeah, it was good to be the king.
Good for him.
So were there any all-star selections that surprised you, concerned you?
I mean, we talked about this before. Blake Snell should be an all-star, and hopefully he'll still wind up on the roster somehow. He's pitching very well. I mean, it's a tough crowd. Like, it's weird. Like, the National League outfield, we talked about this last week when we were trying to figure out who should be there, and I think we got – did we get two of them right?
I think we had all three of them.
We had Kemp.
Oh, the National League.
Didn't think Markakis would get in. But do you remember like a year ago or 2 years ago? Like this guy was a joke.
Right.
Like it was the Braves were like.
Well, there was like when they signed them, they're like, whoa, he's going to fill the seats with this crappy team. That's not a rebuilder. But here he's what, like 36 years old, first time voted into the All-Star. That's crazy.
Yeah. He's having a very productive year. But again, I think that is more about like what the competition is, right? It's a little bit like Trump and Clinton, right?
Right.
Like Trump doesn't win versus another Democrat. And any other Democrat, like Hillary loses in a landslide to like a Republican that isn't a total buffoon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the two, it's just like who they're going up against. So like who else is in the NL, the National League outfield? That's good.
Right.
That's doing well this year. It's like, it's not Andrew McCutchen. It's not Bryce Harper.
Yeah, the mainstays are not there. So that's, you look at that outfield, you're like, that's the all-star outfield? Really?
Yeah.
That's what the fans are going with? But yeah, the Braves wind up placing four players on the All-Star team.
Yeah.
For in the National League, that's tied with the Brewers, I think, for the most players, which is kind of a surprise.
It's kind of cool, but also at the same time, I think it's not necessarily great for the sport when, you know, small market teams are loading up All-Stars. The All-Star game is meant to bring attention to the sport.
Right.
And frankly, you need
the stars.
The big teams need big players. Sorry, small market fans. That's how it all works. And then it generates billions of dollars and then everyone can spend it however they want.
I agree. To me, as a kid growing up, it was all about seeing your favorite players, not about who was having the best season at that point. The big names.
Yeah.
And you know, back in, what, before 1970, I think, they were selected by sports writers and or players and or the league. So that's why you had people like Stan Musial and Willie Mays, you know, 24-year All-Stars.
Right.
Because they were legends. And they,
like Hank Aaron with 21 All-Star appearances. 21. Really? Really, Hank Aaron? 21? Like the most by any current active player is right now is, I think, Molina. Has 9?
Yeah.
He's got 12 more to go. Well, no, you know what? 10, because he just got subbed in. So 11 more to go for Molina.
Yeah,
see you
crazy.
When you're 55. Also, there's more teams now and more players and bada 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 ba.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? Anyway, did you have any thoughts about the All-Stars? Who got left out? Who should have been?
No, I guess it's just more a matter of, to me, over the last 10, 15 years, the bigger thing is the home run derby. And we've talked about this before. The futures game is a big deal now, too, because a lot of players are getting exposure at a younger age, especially for fantasy baseball leagues. You know, people are getting to see these players do a little scouting. But I watch the home run derby more than I watch the game.
Yeah. I mean, prospecting has become a very big part.
Yeah.
Prospecting has become a very big part of baseball fandom. And I think that the league and, you know, people who make money off of the league, like, should really dive in, because the resources for people who are into that are very limited right now. And I noticed that RotoWire, they have a farm system guy, James Anderson, great writer, really knowledgeable. He focuses on the fantasy value of players instead of like the actual baseball value. And there's a correlation between the two, but there's a good hitter is more important than a good defender at shortstop in the fantasy world. You know, he now updates his top 400 like once a month.
Gee, that's a lot of work.
Right, exactly. But it's like because there's that much demand, that's what they're giving. So, and you're seeing other sites do the mid-year report. Other places are doing like once a month updates. And here's who's
that,
a
wouldn't
hot
that be
mover.
The ideal job for you?
Oh, man. From home, like in my underwear, pizza delivered, a Snapple.
Non-Snapple drinks.
A Snapple that doesn't have lots of sugar but isn't a diet Snapple that has aspartame, which converts to formaldehyde in the body and rots your brains. So something, a situation like that, absolutely. I mean, we're talking about dream jobs here, so I'm talking about a Snapple that isn't poison, allegedly. I'm just saying, in the sense that sugar... Some people consider sugar to be a poison.
Right.
Because the body has so much trouble processing.
Yeah. And it wasn't intended. We weren't intended to be consuming, you know, 50 pounds of sugar a year.
Right. Maybe 38.
It's not our.
38 pounds.
So big news in the past few days, Red Sox kind of were on the periphery and have moved to the center of the discussions for Manny Machado. Machado. I keep saying Machado.
You do like saying Machado.
And the Yankees. I don't know. It just rolls off my tongue that way, even though I know it's Machado. Maybe it's my my years of Spanish in high school.
See.
That I immediately want to go there. But the Yankees all of a sudden emerge as a big player just within the last 48 hours. Like, oh, the Yankees have a deal. They have an offer.
But
not a deal, but an
seem
offer on
like
the table.
Yankees and Red Sox, like, those two teams don't need him. Where would they play him?
Yeah, the Yankees are doing it just because they want to win the division.
I feel
they
like
want
to
secure. I
feel like they're doing it like just to jack the price up for whoever gets them. That's what I think. Because I don't think the Yankees are going to get Machado. First of all, do you think the Orioles owner is going to let them trade to the Yankees and let them win another? No way. First of all, no way. Not unless you're getting like all the prospects, like Clint Frazier and Justice Sheffield. In which case, it's like you're going to pay double. And also, I don't see them doing it for the Red Sox either. Also, where do they play? They have Miguel Andujar at third base, who's doing great.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to get, like a one win above replacement better than Miguel Andujar? And then what do you do with Miguel Andujar? Send him back to the minors for the rest of the year? What does that do to him?
This would definitely be a George Steinbrenner move, though. It's just like,
oh, yeah,
the, you know, let the fat get fatter. Let's get what we can, and just to prove our ability to do what we want.
I just feel like it's a very un-Cashman move. You know, Cashman seems like he's been smarter than that.
The Red Sox and the Yankees are looking at this as, we do not want to risk a one-and-done scenario as a wild-card team.
These two teams are so awesome, though, right? Like,
I know the Yankees have kind of faltered
a little bit the last week after their big win, the two out of three games from the Red Sox. They're like, yeah, we did it! Yeah! And I was like, oh, what about these other teams? Like, nah, it'll be fine. We don't even need to show up for those. Oops.
Right.
It's baseball, man. Meanwhile, the Red Sox, what, 9 games in a row?
Mm-hmm.
9 games in a row for the Red Sox. Like, yeah, okay, we let the Yankees have a couple wins.
But at the same time, 9 games in a row for the Red Sox, and the Yankees are still there. They're right there.
Yeah, no, they're 3.5
back. So that's what's going to be. It's just going to go back and forth like this all season, which is awesome.
Exactly. Exactly. It's
order has been restored.
Like, So what do they need? Like, the Red Sox need, like, a lockdown reliever, like Raisel Iglesias,
mm-hmm.
right? Or Brad Hand,
mm-hmm.
right? And pay the price, man. You've already done it before when you got Kimbrel,
right?
Who's a free agent at the end of the year. Maybe you keep him, maybe you don't.
And the Yankees need a starter.
They do not need a slight improvement at third base. And that's assuming that the guy would be willing to play third base.
Right, he's already made it clear in interviews this week that he's a shortstop.
Yeah, he is a shortstop, even though his defensive shortstop is not very good.
Look at it, he's going to go. He has no choice. He's going to go and enjoy being on a contender.
Yeah, I mean, A-Rod did it, right? Like, A-Rod had the chance to go down in history as the greatest shortstop in the history of baseball, and he was like, "Yeah, I'll play third.
Right,
because he wanted to get out of Texas. Yankees,
I'll play third.
Yeah, right. Play for the Yankees and kiss himself in the mirror and
centaur pictures, photographs, paintings, whatever it is.
Okay, listeners, if you don't know what we're talking about, just Google Alex Rodriguez centaur and you're welcome.
You'll come to the photo shoot. I think it was in GQ that had him just adoring himself.
Yes. Yes. Alex Rodriguez mirror, probably.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So how about those first place Phillies only bringing one player to the All-Star game?
Yeah, this is a strange team, and hats off to Gabe Kapler. Wait, Kapler or Kaplan?
Which is
Kapler.
Kapler.
Yeah.
So that's one of those head scratchers, though, because in the beginning of the year, you never would have thought this was going to turn out this well.
And it just kind of has, right? Like, they keep talking about getting rid of Michael Franco, but he keeps kind of hitting enough at third base to not be gotten rid of, and Rhys Hoskins in the outfield has not been good, but it's not been horrifying, and Nick Williams is having a nice little run, and
despite Santana's horrid start.
Yeah. But he's getting horrid start, but he's walking all the time, as he does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a surprising team, I'm going to say.
It's a surprise, it really is.
I haven't looked into the numbers, like, to see whether there's, like, some luck involved, or whether it's actual skillful management, or like, it's just like, oh, look, they got to play these crappy teams at this time. I mean, there is some, and that sort of does tend to even out over the year. And the Phillies, especially, didn't they do this last year? They got off to kind of a good start, and then it was just like, no, look at the numbers. And then they wound up, 10 games under.
Right. And I still think that's how it's going to play out. I mean, the Braves have a chance to hold on. I really think so. I think Washington will rise to the top. They're going to hit another gear and probably not be a 500 team in the second half.
Yeah.
That would shock me if they were a 500 team at the end of the season. Just too good of a team.
Yeah. And so maybe they regress. But I will say, I think the Jake Arrieta signing was underrated. And even I kind of poo-pooed it. It was like, really? Him? Really? But of all the guys, Lance Lynn, Alex Cobb, Jake Arrieta, that were kind of going around, he is the one that's done well. And in a hitter's ballpark.
Yeah, and he's had that fiery passion too that I think has helped leadership with the team too. He's a go-getter.
Absolutely.
For sure, and has attitude.
I talk a lot of numbers and stuff, but I've played sports. I know that attitude and camaraderie and all that stuff does factor into
things. Goes a long way. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. So did Jerry DePoto extend Jerry DePoto or trade for Jerry DePoto? Was Jerry DePoto involved with this decision? Because he's involved in everything that the Mariners do.
The only thing surprising about Jerry DePoto getting his contract extended by the Mariners was that he did not have to trade for something in order to make it happen.
Expect the Mariners to do something too. They need a starter. You know, there's talk out here about J.A. Happ. There's talk about what's his name, the lefty with the Rangers,
Hamels.
Cole Hamels. Yeah. But yeah, they're going to do something. I don't know what they're going to trade, but they're going to do something. If they want to stay ahead of the A's, which is kind of hard to even fathom.
Right, they're just still hanging in there.
The A's are. They're there, yeah.
Beating up the Astros.
They're going to need another starter.
Yeah.
Because Felix, his career is pretty much on the steep decline. Yeah. He's on the DL. And that's just a rest thing, I think, more than anything going into the All-Star break. But, yeah, they need help in the rotation. So we'll see what happens. But congratulations, Jerry.
Yeah. Well, he earned it. He certainly...
he did.
He certainly has been active.
Trading Jerry DePoto.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Shin-Soo Chu reaches base for the 48th consecutive game. Is that a record?
It is not.
For the Rangers?
It is not.
It's a record?
Just a long...
It's a Rangers
number.
Record?
The funny thing about this is we put this on here, and I was like, well, maybe it'll end. But they actually sat Chu versus Chris Sale.
Oh.
Flame-throwing lefty Chris Sale. And the only reason that makes sense because they start Chu against other lefties. Is they're just like, well, they just want to keep the streak going.
Right. It's the one positive thing going for the Rangers.
Well, I think
they're
trying to trade Chu, right? Like, I don't think he's a free agent at the end of the year. I think he's got another year on his deal, and they're going to eat a lot of money. But this is a DH-type guy now. I don't know what his outfield numbers are, and I really don't feel like searching them right now. But they would love to be able to get rid of this guy.
It will be interesting to see if he can continue the...
It's surprising how many times... It's not surprising. We say that about so many long-term contracts. We'd love to get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
Right? Do you know that Jacoby Ellsbury is on the Yankees? And then, like, for another 3 years.
He's sitting back, legs crossed, kicked out in front of him, hands behind his head, whistling.
He's got another $60 million coming to him.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. I'm not going to turn away from that money, but I still would feel like, you know, I fleeced them. I'm disappointed that I can't contribute.
Well, yeah, you do like the Prince Fielder thing, right?
Right. Give your money back.
Yeah, like I retire and we do a settlement and walk away. Yeah.
All's good.
It's the Ellsbury thing is hilarious as a Red Sox fan because it was like, ooh, what a coup. They stole Jacoby Ellsbury from the Red Sox. And I was like, yeah, we got Mookie Betts
coming
up.
The Red Sox were like, yeah, you can have him.
We got Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley Jr. and Andrew Benintendi. You can have Jacoby. We're not really sure how good he is.
Well, that just goes to show you how important speed was to his game. And once the speed was gone, he's nothing.
Yeah.
I don't say nothing, but he's not a...
No, he's a replacement-level player. That's crazy. Yeah. And they're paying him $20 million or something, more than $20 million. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And this is like... And by the way, like, Cashman has made some great moves and some great not moves, but people always leave out these deals that he signed that are like, what?
Because they forgot that Ellsbury's still on the Yankees. It's like, who? He's on the Yankees? Yeah, he's on the Yankees. So tell me about this miscommunication with the Indians. I haven't heard this story
yet.
Okay,
this is the best. So the Indians were up 4-1. You know, they had like a little bit of a losing streak. They were up 4-1 the other day, and they bring in Cody Allen, their closer, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Gives up a couple hits, and it's 4-3, and they're like, all right, let's get the next guy up in the bullpen. And Terry Francona calls and asks for OB? That's their nickname. But there's a guy in the bullpen whose nickname is OT, Otero.
Oh.
Which, by the way, if you're giving out nicknames, maybe not ones that phonetically sound exactly the same in the bullpen.
And make sure you have good reception on that phone, too.
Or just say, hey, you know what? Get up, Otero. Like, are you really saving a lot of time by saying OT?
Yeah, it's just one extra
syllable. Is that OB? Is that OB or is that OG? Did you say OD? OV? There's no OV here. No, OB. No, OT.
Right.
It's a really, really, really dumb miscommunication. Anyway, so they warmed up the wrong guy. They sent him out. He got clobbered. Indians lose.
And did Francona take full responsibility?
Oh, absolutely. You know him. Tito's the best. But he's basically like, you got to figure like, okay, first order of business, Otero, your
moving forward.
Your new nickname is Dance Fever. After Denny Terrio.
Right.
Denny Otero. Is that anyone going to get that joke?
Yeah, Denny Terrio. I got it. I got
set.
It.
That's for the older set. Way Sorry, back. Guys. Dance Fever. All right, get Dance Fever up.
That's pretty good.
I just pulled all that out of the file cabinet, the mental file cabinet right there. Like, I was like, wait, what was his name again?
Oh, you were there with Queen and ELO and
that's true.
AC/DC.
And so, the Surf Punks.
Right in that era. The Surf Punks, right.
Shark
Late
Attack.
70s.
Shark there Attack. Get out of the water and don't look back.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I was 8.
Ah, the good old days.
Also, that's when I started liking Oingo Boingo, who was very big in Los Angeles.
Oh, very
nice. Very big in Los Angeles.
Yeah, loved them. You loved them. Yeah,
one of the best live shows I've seen, by the way. I was very young when I went and saw them. I was in my, I think I was 15 or 16, but I got into a mosh pit there, and it was really one of the best experiences of my music going life.
Yeah, Danny Elfman has done quite well for himself.
Yes, he has. Well, he's a hell of a creative mind, right?
He is, yeah. He's a whiz. And most people will be like, yeah, Danny Elfman, the guy from the movies. Like, no, Danny Elfman from Oingo Boingo.
Exactly. The Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo. That was the original name of the band.
Was it? I did not know that.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All right, what else is there?
Let's see. Oh, I did see this story. Mike, I don't know how to pronounce Marjama, I assume.
Mike.
Is it that
he's a Mike Marjama? He's a bad man, Majama. Anyway, sorry, I don't know. I apologize to the listeners.
So yeah, the Mariners, former, I guess, minor league catcher.
Yeah, he was up for a little bit this year. He started the team as the backup catcher.
So he's got some ABs in the big leagues. But he decided to retire and take a job with the National Eating Disorder Association.
Yes. He decided that was his calling, and apparently he had some eating disorders. I find it very strange that the abbreviation for the National Eating Disorder Association is NEDA. Like, I need a sandwich.
Need a sandwich? That's very good. That's nice. But yeah, you have to be compelled. Some divine intervention to say, you know what? I'm going to give up the game.
I feel like it's a bad move, though.
To do some good.
I feel like, obviously it's his life, and I don't get to have a say in it. This isn't like a role-playing game. But I'm just saying, maybe, you stick it out a little bit. See if you can accumulate a little service time, make a little money, put it away, then go work for the National Eating Disorder Association.
Right.
Then when you need a job,
they'll be there for you.
It'll be there for you.
Yeah, it's not like it's going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah.
You know, eating disorders aren't going to be cured in
That's
his
right.
lifetime.
That's right.
Not to make light of eating disorders.
Well, anyways, so what I'm suggesting is that he binges on baseball and then purge.
Dun-dun-dun. So how about Matt Reynolds? I want to say resurrecting his career, but he's had a couple of good years in a fill your stats type of way. You know, he was with the Rockies. He was with the Orioles.
Hey, he had 30 home runs last year. How'd this guy not get a major league deal?
I know. But, you know, he's working both sides. He's pulling an Ohtani.
That's right. So he gets 10 RBIs in one game against the Marlins, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
No offense, John. And then the next day he goes out and pitches, which of course just shows the Nationals are just like, please, anything. We're falling apart here.
Yeah, that's not a good sign when you have huge output one day and give up a ton the next. I'm surprised this doesn't happen more. It happened several times.
Well, it happened last night, right? Like with the Diamondbacks and the Rockies. The Diamondbacks wound up using Daniel Descalso and Alex Avila position players to pitch in that.
What was the score of the game?
It was like 19-2 or something like that. And it was like 19 after like the first four innings. It was Shelby Miller started and then left with an arm strain.
Disaster. Yeah.
And
that was expected because he's on my fantasy team.
John, look,
his career may be over.
The reason why your team is not is doing bad is not because Shelby Miller got hurt. It's because you had Shelby Miller on your team.
Well, you know, my thinking there, being the worst team in the league, is that, hey, maybe we can catch lightning in a bottle if he bounces back.
It's a keeper league. That's all you should be doing. You should be going through the free agent pool and seeing who's lightning in a bottle, who could have a big second half and be worth keeping next year or become an asset. Absolutely.
Right.
And that was a good call. I like that.
Pick him up for a buck. Didn't work out. I think he's done. I think he's done for the year. And, you know, if this, you know, whenever you have that discomfort in the elbow, that is never a good sign. So he may be done. We'll see. Well, I haven't seen anything today to see if he's, I guess today would be his MRI. So we'll find out what happens from there. Yeah.
It's a fine line between lightning in a bottle and being struck by lightning.
Right. And I have been definitely struck by lightning.
Multiple times
this year. Thank you, sir. May I have another? I saw this. Oh, yeah. We talked about the Diamondbacks there. But I saw was it Bregman?
Yeah.
That had the walk-off single?
Yeah.
The corkscrew single that, you know, bounces in foul territory and squibs back into fair territory with tremendous side spin on the ball.
No, it was exciting play. Kyle Tucker on second base. Someone was on first. I don't remember who. Anyway, Bregman's up there, who's having a great year, by the way. Looks like his second half last year was legitimate, and he looks great. And filling in nicely for the injured Carlos Correa for the Astros, as if they needed more good things going their way. And so, so he hits this little squibber that goes about 2 feet, and then who's the catcher? Lucroy picks it up and tries to tag him, but misses the tag.
Yeah, the ball pops up in the air.
Right. And then Bregman runs down to first, like kind of like courtesy, whatever, right? And then Lucroy throws it away, and the run scores.
Right.
On a little 2 foot, little nubber, squib nubber.
But the thing about it was the ball started foul. Yeah. It had so much side spin that it went fair. Lucroy picks the ball up, attempts to tag him. The ball squirts.
Yeah.
It was like it was a watermelon seed. Squirts up in the air. He's looking for it. Bregman takes off down the base path and, you know, Keystone Cops, total to Keystone Cops thing. Talk about dating myself. Keystone Cops. I'm not that old. But look it up, kids.
You can know what the Keystone Cops are and not be old. Not really.
Well, yeah. And if you... No. what else we got here?
Oh, right. So then...
Is this Ken Giles?
Yeah, Ken Giles was sent down to AAA.
What?
Yeah. No, apparently he had some outburst, but, you know, he's not been pitching well, right? His ERA is around 5.
Right.
They've got Hector Rondon closing games, basically, now for them. And this is like the closer of the World Series for the World Series winning Houston Astros, and he got sent down to the minors. Who was that guy that did that for the Phillies? Wasn't there a Phillies guy that was that way? Was like lights out and then just went to crap after the World Series. One of those guys.
I remember.
One of those guys. Anyway, whatever. So Philly, he's so the Astros are going to see if he can get his head straight down in the down in the minor.
So Neris did the same thing and went down to the Phillies.
Yeah,
was
but he,
relegated
he's been
so to
the bad.
Minors.
Oh, yeah. My God.
He's had over 6 ERA.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
I hear clicking. Are you looking up that closer?
Yeah, I'm looking up that closer. I can't remember who he was. It was... So Neris has a similar problem, right? And he's the closer. And, of course, I traded for him. I think I might have been gypped, too. I think the guy who offered me the trade heard that the guys... that Neris had been demoted. And I was like, oh, this is cool. I'll trade my starting pitcher for a closer. I need a closer. I think I got gypped. but I won't name names because, you know, I'm not that kind of guy. But I will say I do think I got gypped. And it happens. It's my fault because I honestly haven't been following baseball, fantasy baseball, as much this year just due to, you know, work.
World Cup?
No, this whole year, John. Not... Not in preparation for the World Cup.
Okay, I gotcha. Plus a move, you know, throw a cross-country move.
It's been just sort of like a busy year, right? Brad Lidge.
Oh, there you go.
Brad Lidge.
He was amazing with the Astros. Right. Went over to the Phillies.
Right. So the opposite of the Giles thing. Giles started with the Phillies and went to the Astros.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, hey, maybe there's something going on here. All right.
Yeah, Lidge will go down in history for giving up Pujols, you know, 700-foot home run that ricocheted off the back wall of the Tropicana Field. Minute Maid.
Minute Maid.
Got my orange juices mixed up.
Also, orange juice, not that great for you.
Sugar.
A lot of sugar.
Sugar and acid. Not a good combo.
And not the good kind of acid.
No. So I saw some photos yesterday of the Rays' new stadium.
Yeah.
And it sounded like during the presentation, they oohed and aahed as they showed them all of the images and the new Ybor City location. And then they flashed up the price tag and the crowd went silent.
Right.
$900 million proposed stadium.
But you know who's got $900 million? Kylie Jenner.
So she could buy it?
Not Kylie Jenner has $900 million. Do you know how much plastic surgery that's going to buy her?
And she's, what, 21 years old?
Do you know how much plastic surgery that has already bought her? So much plastic surgery.
How is that possible?
Just because, like, all the perfumes and the clothing and the modeling and the... It's awful. It's just the worst. Honestly, I would rather have, like, some, exploitative corporation making this kind of money than this Yahoo.
Wow. And they all have Kim to thank for this.
Yeah, I mean, they're not doing toxic dumping, but emotionally they are.
They are. Well, Kim's doing good now. You know,
I will
she's
say
changing the world.
I will say I was impressed by that. I was impressed by her taking up a cause and actually doing something effective. Mm-hmm. Which all these jerk offs in the entertainment industry who are screaming about Hitler Trump. Like, if they just shut their mouths and went and talked to him, they could get whatever they want.
Right, because it's if anything that has to do with publicity,
yes,
they're in.
Yes.
Just leverage that.
Just leverage it. Like, hello.
You and I should do that.
The guy used to run a show called Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah, he'll invite you in.
Come on. He's a game show host.
He'll take a meeting.
You think this guy's Hitler? He's not Hitler. He's a game show host. Go and ask him for whatever you want. He will give it to you. Oh, the resistance. Oh, get rid of the Electoral College. Oh, pack the courts. Oh. Just go ask him for something nice.
Yeah, I've completely unplugged, although I have heard a few things that were going on right now. I really don't know. There's some NATO thing, and he has upset the entire media cycle again with some comments that were made.
Yeah.
I truly don't know. I just heard that. That's all I know. So, and I like to keep it that way.
Now, you're not going to go to Mexico. When you move to Mexico, John, you're not turning into like, you're not doing like a Ted Kaczynski thing, right? Like a Unabomber thing. Like it'll be harder to track the packages that you send while you're in Mexico. No. Like I'm shutting off. I'm going off the grid.
No, not the case for me.
Okay, good. Okay. Because you know this podcast, we're going to keep doing it. And that's on the grid, man. We have hundreds of listeners. None of them bothered to rate our show, by the way. Ahem, listeners.
Yeah, get out there and do something.
Sheesh.
We're going to have to go to Donald Trump to
ask
for some sort of a handout. Please. Get us some pub.
Yeah.
Cheeto. Oh, great Cheeto.
Yes. It's Donald Trump. He's the president of the United States. There is not a day that goes by that I do not laugh about that fact.
I guess one of the things that, I don't want to belittle it because I think in some ways it's horrifying and there's always a silver lining.
Yeah.
Question mark. But it's just how serious he's trying to take it.
Yeah. Well, he took the Supreme Court stuff very seriously. And I will tell you.
But I just think he goes back at home at night, shuts the door and just starts laughing.
Right. He has to.
He's got to like, they're letting me do this again.
Like it's a
500 days in.
It's a lark.
It is.
People think it's all serious, and it's not, because it's just politics. And no matter what he does will be undone by the next guy if anything he does is even remotely bad.
Right, it's just ebb and flow.
And for my liberal friends who are listening who aren't because they're too busy out in the streets protesting, but for my liberal friends who maybe come across this someday, when you're on a respite from the hashtag resistance, just know that if you don't understand why a conservative would vote for Donald Trump, as moronic as he may seem or as much of a buffoon, two conservative justices are now in the Supreme Court because Hillary didn't win.
That was what it was all about.
And if that's right, that's enough of a reason for a lot of people, my dudes. So let's stop pretending that people that voted for him were racists and, you know, Nazi sympathizers and fascists. And maybe they just wanted to have conservative justices in the Supreme Court. So there you go.
Right. Yeah. It's all about trying to get back to 1950.
Okay.
And there are a lot of people out there that would be okay with that.
But you know what? There are some things about 1950 that are pretty dope.
Cars. Music.
The suits.
Right.
The hats. Style. The liberals are all doing the hats anyway. All the liberals have fedoras. That's what you get when you become a liberal.
You know what changed it all? That rock and roll music, that silly rock and roll music. Elvis is to blame.
Well, one could argue that it more had to do with the preponderance of drugs in society, but that's a topic for another time. I don't think Elvis Presley did it. Those hips, though, right?
Yeah.
Those hips don't lie. That's what Shakira's talking about.
Right. She won't talk about her. She was talking about Elvis.
She may have been talking about herself.
And her hips don't lie either, I've got to tell you. Not from experience, but just from observation.
Now, if a girl says these hips don't lie, does that mean that the lips do lie?
Could be.
Do you trust the hips and not the lips?
That's the mesmerizing part.
But what if she slips? What are tips for when she slips with those hips and those lips? John, what is this show even? What is this show? What's the next thing? $900 million for the Rays Stadium. It looks gorgeous. Okay? The stadium looks gorgeous.
Absolutely gorgeous.
I'm not sure about a see-through roof, but it looks gorgeous.
That's been in play for quite a while. I remember hearing about that like 4 or 5 years ago, that was one of the things that they were playing, this translucent dome thing.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing about this is the capacity. 28,900 something fixed seats. That's it.
Well, it's smart
and
to make it smaller.
And it expands to like 31,000 with, I guess, standing room. But yeah, it is smart.
Here's the thing.
It's
they
want
to put
house.
It in Ybor City, right? Throw a couple of strip clubs right next to it. Mm-hmm. Couple of nightclubs, boom, there's your $900 million. You get Stormy Daniels down there, have her do a couple of shows.
Tampa is well known for its strip clubs, so yeah, that won't be a problem.
Yeah.
Dale Mabry, right off of Dale Mabry.
There's a little inside humor for
there,
Floridans
done that.
Or people who've been to Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just a few.
I was surprised, John, when I went to Tampa, I was surprised how many strip clubs.
Yeah, when you don't think Tampa as being a haven for strippers,
right.
And you think Vegas, you think L.A., you think South Florida.
But here's the thing. Yeah, it makes sense. It's hot down there. You want to take off your clothes. Mm-hmm. So it's like, hey, I'm halfway there. I'm already stripping. I might as well just throw a little dance into it.
Might as well get paid for it.
Also, the humidity is great for the skin. That's got to add at least 3 years to the shelf life, if you will, of a stripper.
And it also, the cash sticks to the skin when it's a little bit. Makes for a good show.
All right. What is this show that we're doing, John? What is going on
here? I don't know. We're going to, this is the longest ever.
What are we even doing?
Headlines.
What are we doing?
We're rambling.
Okay.
So we've got, let's see. Oh, yeah. So Papa John's founder, Papa John, is in big trouble.
Yes. So MLB suspended their Papa Slam promotion because Papa John, on a conference call, used a racial slur. I don't know what it was, and I wouldn't repeat it here anyway. But the hilarity of this was that this was in a scenario where they were sort of like going through like racial sensitivity training.
Nice.
And sort of like, you know, trying to like, hey, you know, it's important that we, you know, sort of like understand the ramifications. And he lets out some racial slur. Stocks drop in the company. MLB suspends their Papa Slam thing, which, frankly, if ever a racial slur had done good in the world, this is it. Because Papa Slam is one of the dumbest things that baseball's come up with. I mean, besides the Camping World All-Star Game.
Right, right. Because when you think baseball, you think Camping
it's
World.
So weird. This company,
I wonder what Peyton Manning thinks about all this.
Billions. Well, he got out, remember? He got out of the whole Papa John's thing.
Well, that was earlier. Yeah, that's true.
He sold all his stores.
They were like buds.
Yeah, and he was like, he was, okay, I'm out.
And you know why that is.
He's a racist.
No, not because, no, because Peyton Manning is going to run for public office eventually. He wants to be president, and he doesn't want to be associated with, he's like, I got out of that.
I mean, look, John, Peyton Manning for president, are you kidding? That'll never happen. They would never elect an unqualified person that had some success in another area and just decided to run on popularity. John, that would never happen in these United States.
Yeah, especially since he had a college Me Too moment, right? So that just totally disqualifies him.
Yes, yes. You know what? It's just locker room talk, John.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's all good. It's all in good fun, right?
Yes.
Racial slurs, sexual innuendo,
absolutely.
Pats on the bottom.
That should be the new name of this show.
All in good fun. What? It's all in good fun?
No, just all that title that you just gave.
Oh, okay. That's too much to say.
Well, maybe it's like just a colon. It's all in good fun, colon, racial slurs, sexual innuendo, and baseball.
Yeah.
What else is there? Hey, Citi Field on its the Mets on their life metaphors, continuing on their life metaphors season. One of the vendors there choked and died at a Mets game at Citi Field.
That's horrible.
It's terrible. I mean, it was after the game, so, you know, mitigated to
some
degree.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It wasn't. Okay.
Yeah.
Not that that's any worse for his, better for his family. It's still bad.
It's it's weird in this day and age that someone can still choke and die. Don't you find that weird?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. There was no one around for the Heimlich.
Yeah. Like, I just think that there's certain deaths that I just like, I thought we got rid of that. I thought we got rid of choking. You know, the funny thing about New York is literally every restaurant here has a choking sign. And I used to, every time I go and I see it, I just laugh. Like, I've never seen this in any city in the world where, like, right next to the menu, there's like a giant sign on how to treat someone who's choking. And it's like, what a joke. What are they doing? What a waste of money. And yet, it turns out it was a waste of money because no one was reading it when this guy choked at
Sanfield. And they just looked at each other, I'm sure. And like, what do we do?
Yeah.
But I'm just glad it wasn't, again, I'm not trying to diminish it for this guy's family and friends, but I'm just glad it wasn't during the game and like as he's handing a hot dog to an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Of course, he was, if he was horrible. Choking during the game, they just would have thought he was one of the Mets players.
Oh, that was good. That was really good. Did you have that one set up, or did that just spur the moment?
You set me up for that one, John. Well played.
I'm good. Nice. Okay, so this next item, I hadn't heard anything about it.
Yeah, remember, what's his name? I used to get these two names mixed up. There's Juris Familia, and then there's like Francisco Mejia or something like that, or not Francisco, but whatever. He was like the closer for the Mets a couple years ago, and he got busted for steroids, for PEDs, and it was like, but it was like his third bust, so he's out of baseball, and like banned for life. And then when he was banned for life, he went on this whole thing about how it was like, this is an outrage and it's a witch hunt and they're just, it's a setup and I'm being framed. And apparently
he
decided to chill out on those accusations, apologized for the accusations, and then had his lifetime ban lifted and will be eligible to play next year. So, you know, right now, John, you know, he's roiding up.
Right.
You know he's cycling right now. He's like, okay, what's the latest I can go before they start testing me again? Before I'm back, quote unquote, in the league.
And Pete Rose has got to be like, hey, what about me?
Like, wait, they lifted his lifetime ban? I only, gosh darn
mine?
It. I never really gambled.
Okay, so this last story, tell me this is not true.
Well, I mean, this is...
Fans will soon use fingerprints, facial recognition instead of tickets to purchase tickets or get into the game?
Probably to get into the game. I think it'll be like, look, man, you're all going to get a barcode, all right? And then you get the, just going to scan the barcode. Everyone gets a barcode on their neck or wherever. Some people who have neck tattoos will have to find another place to put it, okay? And then they'll say, hey, I want to get in the game. And they'll say, we'll scan your barcode. And we're like, yes, you do have a ticket on that barcode account.
Jeez.
It's the wave of the future, man. It's all going to look. We give out our DNA to Ancestry.com so that they can track us for everything we do. We we get all our personal information to free apps that are like, hey, it's free. All you have to do is give us all your personal information, which we promise we will not use
to
for anything.
Everything. You want to take a photograph? We need access to your address book.
Right. Oh, did you want to use this app? We need access to all of your friends on Facebook, and therefore you need to find
your
out
bank
what the
accounts.
Yeah, and what's your date of birth and your social security. Okay, good. And you know what? This isn't an app where you're going to buy anything, but we do need all of your accounting information
all
and your tax returns.
Yeah, I have turned an app or two away because they have nothing.
God forbid you pay $2 for an app. You know what I mean?
Right. Especially the ones that have like 15 different things that they need access to. And you're like, seriously, for this?
Yeah.
No, thank you. Okay, let's move on to starting nine.
Okay.
So we've got for the I don't remember the guy's name, Kavanaugh or something like that, for the
Brett
new Supreme
Kavanaugh,
Court
yes.
nomination.
Yes.
Nine players with landmark Supreme Court case names.
That's right.
You're going deep.
Yes. Now, I would like to say I am presenting these apolitically. I don't really have opinions about any of these except for one, but it's one that we all agree on. And anyway, so here we go.
Okay.
The first one, Ariel Miranda versus Arizona. Right?
There you go.
Right? That's Everyone good. Knows their Miranda rights. This was a Supreme Court case. Right. That's where Miranda comes from, people. It's not just some chick who was like, hey, you know what? We need to have these rights.
Power to the people.
Power to the people. All right. Next one. And again, this is the one that I will say everyone disagrees with this. And this is using Dred Scott, right? Everyone knows Dred Scott. That's the one that basically said that African Americans were not U.S. citizens. That's been overturned. Mm-hmm. It's all garbage, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, but Stephen Dred Piscotty versus Stanford.
Okay, that's good.
Shin Korematsu Chu versus United States.
He's back.
He's back in the list. Korematsu, not a highlight of the United States. That's the one that basically said it was okay to put Japanese Americans in
internment camps.
Not concentration camps, internment camps. Sorry.
Right. Big difference.
Which, by the way, was done by Democrats. You liberals on the left who get a little worked up. Just keep that in mind. Next one is District of Columbia versus Jeremy Hillerickson.
Okay. Which one is that?
Hiller is gun control.
Okay.
Here's Citizens United Darvish.
Everyone knows that
one. Yeah, Citizens United says corporations can make donations because corporations are people.
Two.
Brown versus Board of Education, Sean Doolittle.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. Could have gone with a Brown there. That would have been too easy. Brown versus Board of Education. Landmark.
No, that's good.
United States versus Nixon Williams.
Okay.
Nixon. Nixon getting his... Trump's the worst president. Nixon? All right. Anyway. Roe versus Wade Davis.
Nice.
I think there's a Roe pitcher. There's a pitcher whose last name is Roe, I think, for the Rays. I should have done the whole thing. That would have been fun to do one on each side of this, right?
Oh, yeah, that would have been
last
awesome.
One here, Obergefell et al. Ex Gordon versus Hodges, Director, Ohio Department of Health, et al. Ex Bregman.
So what is that case?
I like Obergefell, I think, is the gay marriage. That basically said that we can have gay marriage.
Okay, so that's recent.
Yeah, that's a recent one. Yeah, Obergefell. Yeah. Anyway.
And there you have it.
A little educational and maybe not as funny as some of the other ones we've done, but you know what? Sometimes it's more fun to learn.
Yeah, and people who listen to podcasts love to learn.
Yes, people who listen to sports podcasts.
They keep coming back.
Look, the people that are listening to this podcast, John, have problems, all right? Because we don't talk about baseball. Right. It's baseball and stuff. And sometimes the stuff is Supreme Court cases.
Yeah, and sometimes there's some learning going on.
Yeah. We'll learn the hell out of these people.
That's why we're here.
That is why we're here. What else we got?
We got extra innings.
Okay.
So we're going to take a look outside the world of baseball. So, yeah, how you been handling all this World Cup, you know, chaos? The world order of football is just upside down.
Yeah.
No South American or Latin American teams in the fray in the final four. And then Croatia. Smallest country ever to reach a final.
Is that true?
First time for them. Yeah, smallest country.
That's an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's going to be interesting to see. France will probably wind up winning 6-0.
Feels a little like that, right?
Favorites.
Feels a little
heavy
light.
Favorite. So, yeah. Of course, I will probably watch this on Sunday and root for Croatia.
You will root to France? That's like the Tour de France, except you're just rooting and
I,
for France.
Yeah, I didn't. I have not watched a single game. I've watched
Will Croatia be ready for France's onslaught of bad hygiene?
They have not showered since the last game. That's part of their tactic.
They haven't showered since the last World Cup finals. These are Frenchmen. Look, all they want to do is drink wine, eat cheese, not bathe, and have sex with your sister. That's all French people want to do.
And they're going to take advantage of Croatia by sleeping with their sister.
Yes, they're going to get them a little drunk and give them a little cheese.
Well, the other, I think, stat was that all three of the knockout games that Croatia was in, they played and won in overtime, extra time.
Oh, okay. I mean, really, the shocker here is that France was involved in a world competition and didn't immediately surrender.
France, too easy. Okay, so we've got in Pamplona, apparently, opening day of the running of the bulls, someone got gored.
Yes.
That's always good for tourism PR.
Yes.
Because, of course, people go there to see that, not, you know, you want to see. It's like going to a NASCAR race and seeing an accident. That's
right.
Where people go. Right?
That's the main reason why people go to NASCAR, is to see those crashes. I'm telling you, I've been to multiple races, and that's what they care about. I mean, ultimately, they want their guy to win. They pick a guy, but it's kind of random anyway. It's not like they went to school with him or, like, you know, your brother-in-law. They're just like, oh, yeah, I like this guy. Okay, good. But I will tell you something that's amazing about this this thing. How is it just one person that was gored? And how is it even news? Shouldn't this be like there's a couple every year that get gored? Is it really just that one every decade? How is that possible with 100 bulls running through those small streets?
Yeah. Isn't there that famous photo of the guy that's like perched up on you know, pierced through his midsection by a bull?
I
think it was taken back in the 50s or 60s.
I'm going to look that up right after the show. That sounds amazing.
See, that's why people go.
Yeah.
That picture probably did a ton for tourism in Pamplona.
Yeah.
Or Pamplona.
I wonder how Jeff Gordon would do out there being chased by bulls.
That would be fun to watch.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. we know how his dad would have handled it. Too soon?
Too soon.
He's going to turn right into that wall. Didn't look like he was going that fast. Wear a neck brace, ladies and gentlemen. Chased by bulls or...
The Hans device.
Yes.
Wear
That's
it.
Right.
Okay, this one is just not a surprise at all.
Right. This answers LeBron the James. Question of why did LeBron James sign with the Lakers? And the answer is?
Movies.
LeBron James sells a comedy movie to Paramount and is in talks for a starring role.
Because he was outstanding in Trainwreck.
He
was just makes sense that he would jump right into the next level.
He was so hilarious. And like Shaq before him, truly a dynamic screen presence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
But tons of people will go.
Yeah. And you know what? It'll be a cottage industry, right? You're gonna get a lot of people making money, getting busy. I like more movies being made than less, so I guess it's hard to get too excited. But if they're taking money off of other projects and putting it into this garbage, I guess, well, they probably would have put that money into other garbage anyway, so what do we really care? What's the next story, John?
Mariah Carey getting caught lip syncing in the opening night of her Vegas stint.
I think we did a story about her lip syncing for New Year's Eve, didn't we?
Right, and that was a disaster, yeah.
That was kind of hilarious. So here's the thing. She's got a new Vegas show, right? She's trying to do like a Britney Spears kind of a... who else has a big Vegas
show? A residency thing.
A residency. Cher had one, right? Celine Dion.
Right. Yeah.
The greats, right? Carrot Top. The greats.
Right.
Barbara Streisand. I don't know if she did. I just feel like she probably did. Yeah, so anyway, she was lip syncing first night.
Yeah, that doesn't sit well, I would think.
No, I think if people are paying $150, $200 a ticket to see you sing, you should probably sing.
Or you should have rehearsed a little bit more to get the lip syncing thing down.
Ouch, John. please. I think that might be touching on the actual issue here. Maybe she's lazy.
Could be. Do you remember when Mariah Carey was this skinny little thing? Small-breasted, skinny little thing?
Boy, you are definitely dating yourself now, John. I have no idea what you're talking about. Did you
when
ever
she
see
first
her
came
movie?
On the scene. What Look was, at her first her video.
Movie, John, what was her movie?
What was what?
The movie. What was the movie
was
she
horrible.
Was in?
Horrible. I don't remember.
Glamour or something like that?
Something
Sparkles,
like Glitter.
Glitter.
Yeah.
This is one of the worst films ever made, and maybe the funniest movie ever made. I don't know. It's not quite like Hangover level funny. Like, you will not stop laughing the whole time. It's
in an uncomfortable way.
In a, they did not mean for this to be this hilariously funny. It's like The Room. It's so horrifyingly bad and ill-conceived and ill-executed. It's just spectacular. Anyway,
wow.
Yeah, but yeah, I guess she was skinnier and she's kind of beefed up a little. But you know what? We're not here about body shaming, John.
No,
we're not here about body shaming. The question is: is that what's causing her to be? I mean, look, if she's lazy about the singing, you think she's going to get on the treadmill? Come on.
No. What's coming up next?
Take an in-depth look at which players got snubbed as all-stars on the next episode of They Are All-Stars in Our Hearts.